What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, we're going to talk with Jody and David here in just a second. But before we do, here's what's happening on today's episode of the Shadow Docket bonus show on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. We jumped headfirst into the topic of ADHD and specifically whether I have it. Our conclusions are totally unsurprising. We also talked about an interesting use of AI for gun control activism and whether it's potentially effective or whether it's just super creepy. So join us at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for the $5 a month Shadow Docket level and you're all set. Join our amazing community of listeners at the hub of this podcast. Again, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob.
Bob.
Bob. Maluga, luga. Luga, luga, luga.
Why don't I just call you Bob?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 22, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,129 of the Biden-Harris administration, 257 days into the 24 presidential election. You'll find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska. I'm on Blueski, Blue Sky, Bob Seska, just Bob Seska, that's my handle there. Twitter, BobSeska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And those two weirdos right there, it's the Goth Ninjas, yeah. So, I don't know how that slipped out. We're all weirdos. Yeah, hi. It is Jody Hamilton. She's the showrunner, executive producer of The Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com, also Patreon.com/StephanieMillerShow, SexyLiberal.com. I understand there's big doings happening with the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Ooh.
I have no idea. I'm not privy to
anything. I can't talk about anything.
Jody's signed an NDA. Get sued. Also, David Ferguson, we sometimes call him T-Rex.
Yeah, practically.
Yeah, his music project is Astral Summer, patreon.com/Astral Summer. Okay, Goth Ninjas, welcome to the show.
You need to have me on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Soon.
You inviting
please,
yourself to the show?
Please, what you're doing. You know, I feed on attention. Like, you know, flowers feed on rain, so I need it.
Speaking of that, we're gonna on the Shadow Docket. We're gonna talk about ADHD. Then we're gonna talk about politics.
If we remember to get to it and don't get distracted.
Yeah.
Wait, if we don't get, you know who has it and admits to it all the time is Tom Hartman. So you're in good company.
Yeah. Oh God. Well, I do too. I have it, and well, thanks to you, both of you diagnosed me on the Shadow Docket on our previous episode of the Shadow Docket as having ADHD, and then I was having a chat with Jen Kirkman, who hosts an ADHD podcast. And, well, we'll get into it on the Shadow Docket. You got to stand by. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for $5 a month to get the Shadow Docket. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Got to talk about Lawrence O'Donnell last night and that stupendous A block that he delivered.
Amazing.
Lawrence O'Donnell is so important in our political discourse. I mean, there are many political commentators who I admire. I mean, Lawrence O'Donnell is so important. The way Lawrence O'Donnell is able to create these salient arguments that cut through the bullshit, that get right to the core of the issue, and then he's backing it up with personal experience and history, and, yes, and it's important for him to sometimes grab the rest of us by the scruff and say, you guys are doing it wrong. I mean, when I was listening to Lawrence O'Donnell's A block last night, after every sentence, I imagined him ending that sentence with, you fucking idiots. You know what I mean? That was But I'm saying that in the best possible way. Okay, so the point of the A block last night, for those of you who didn't see it and haven't heard about it, he went after the drop Biden meme, the idea that somehow the Democrats are supposed to drop Joe Biden as being the incumbent, as being the nominee, and instead replace Joe Biden with someone else on the bench, maybe someone who we don't know who that'll be. And he went through
a magical unicorn candidate.
Yeah, he went through all the reasons why that is a horrible idea.
Does nobody remember 1980? Does nobody remember 1968? Does nobody remember anything?
Yeah, 1968 was, I think, the centerpiece of what he was talking about in terms of the convention, the nightmare this year's convention would end up being if we went down this road, if we stupidly decided to drop Joe Biden, who, by the way, shows the best polling numbers against Donald Trump compared to Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris.
Thank you.
You know, there's all kinds of things that Lawrence O'Donnell covered in this, including what I just said. Let's hear a little bit of Lawrence O'Donnell talking about the convention aspect of all of this.
Now, assuming you still believe in Gavin Newsom, even though he's polling 10 points behind Donald Trump, you must then explain how your choice of nominee gets the nomination. The more thoughtful dump Biden proponents have actually recently tried to work their way through the maze of how someone other than Joe Biden can be nominated for the president in the Democratic Party. They all rely on Joe Biden, first of all, releasing all of his delegates at the convention on Monday, August 19th. And they all assume that the delegates who have showed up for the convention, at least 90% of whom will be Biden delegates.
Oh, by the way, I just want to throw in this. August 19th, we're talking about less than 3 months from Election Day. That's right. How close that is. If August 19th and what happens at that convention turns out to be a disaster, that gives the Democrats very little time. Not only to raise money, we're going to talk about that separately here in a second, but very little time to do damage control after what would be absolutely a nightmarish convention. Yeah, the drop Biden people would get what they wanted, but Donald Trump would win this goddamn election. That's exactly how that would happen.
How certain they are that, like, their plan is never going to hit any snags.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're going to have a candidate. And they always seem to conveniently forget, like, the red wave effect or whatever this version is, where it's, like, a generic candidate. Always failure is better than a candidate who is a real person.
Yeah.
Because the generic candidate doesn't have any flaws, doesn't have any personality ticks.
Right. And the thing is, what we don't know is what kind of opposition research the Republicans have on the other candidates. Which, if the other candidates are introduced in the context of a primary, then, okay, you can kind of work through some of that stuff and see how it's going to impact the overall campaign, especially in the general election against the Republicans. But 3 months, less than 3 months, 2.5 months in order to do damage control for that? I mean, the 2004 convention with the swift voting of John Kerry. Mm-hmm. I think that also took place in August, and it was a goddamn disaster. The Democrats couldn't do damage control quickly enough to fix all of that, to counterpunch that John Kerry Vietnam record nonsense that was being tossed at him. So
who was the leaders of Democratic messaging at that point? Because I just remember being so frustrated.
Yeah, I don't
that,
know.
Like, they were getting completely railroaded. The 2004, like, straight marriage is the only marriage in the land agenda was a completely made-up thing that they threw on that ballot to shore up George Bush's votes, you know? And it's just, like, I just wish the Democrats had just been a little more, like, you don't understand how bad this is. It's not enough for us just to be right. These people are fucking up your future. Yeah. They're fucking up the Middle East. Can you imagine if even like those next 4 years had not happened in Iraq, what Syria would be like by now? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on in there.
That's okay. Well, the Republicans take advantage of the fact that there are a lot of low information voters who are very easily convinced or swayed by, well, the Democrats say this, but then the Republicans also say this. It's like the editorials in The Week magazine.
They've got that one lady, and I just don't like her, even though she's not related to this policy at all.
Yeah, yeah. You know? All right, let's continue.
Her emails.
Right. Let's continue with Lawrence O'Donnell here from last night.
Maybe more. We'll then easily agree on Gavin Newsom. you certainly get the feeling that most people who want to dump Joe Biden also want to dump Kamala Harris from the ticket. They don't seem to fear what would happen among a key voting demographic who delivered the presidency to Joe Biden and the vice presidency to Kamala Harris. Black women voters. One thoughtful essay about this process reminded us that this is the way Abraham Lincoln was chosen at the Republican convention in 1860. It took three long ballots to nominate Abraham Lincoln. You can expect the balloting at the Democratic convention in August to take at least three ballots, maybe more. And you can imagine what the press would say about the Democrats struggling to nominate a candidate and how much disarray they would figure into their reporting. Yep. You can hope that it's not a rerun of the 1924 Democratic Convention in New York City when it took 103 ballots to nominate John Davis, who went on to lose to Calvin Coolidge. That Democratic Convention lasted from June 24th to July 9th. Okay, 2 weeks to get a nominee. A nominee who would lose. The last time the Democrats nominated a presidential candidate that way, he lost to Republican Richard Nixon. This is what that convention looked like in 1968 in Chicago, where there was violence in that convention hall and days of violence outside the convention hall, which was later described as a riot by the Chicago police against peaceful protesters by a commission that investigated the riots at the 1968 Democratic Convention, which ended up nominating Vice President Hubert Humphrey, who then went on to lose because that's what happens.
Yeah, because the Eugene McCarthy supporters decided to stay home because Eugene McCarthy had run in the primary and had acquired delegates through the primary process. And then Hubert Humphrey comes in at the convention, ends up taking the nomination. So, of course, the Eugene McCarthy people said, oh, we're not voting in November. And here comes Richard Nixon. And so Lawrence continues on about the disaster of the 1968 convention and subsequent to that, the Democratic Party's efforts to create national conventions, nominating conventions that are as scripted as you can possibly get, where there are no surprises, where there's nothing that happens out of the ordinary that throws the whole thing into chaos, knowing very well, I mean, even the Democrats in disarray meme aside, there's always been this thing. I don't belong to an organized party. I'm a Democrat. That whole idea, the idea of the Democratic Party is like herding cats, that whole thing. What you want to do as best as you can is to avoid reinforcing those memes. And that's why having a contested convention sounds great to people who have no sense of the ramifications of elections and only look at them as entertainment. People who should probably spend more time watching professional wrestling than professional politics. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't this why we have superdelegates in the Democratic Party?
Right.
Was to stop that?
Yes.
And I remember with Hillary and Bernie, everybody's, oh, the superdelegates. I'm like, there's never been a convention where the superdelegates do not throw their weight to the person that won the regular delegates. So shut the fuck up.
Right. Okay, so here we go. This is the next clip. And this is the thing that made me stand up and cheer last night. Because I've been writing about this. I've been talking about the Biden is old nonsense and the ridiculous notion of dropping Biden right now, which is just fucking insane. And I have yet to come up with this actual explanation for why it's such a bad idea. Of course, Lawrence O'Donnell nailed it last night. Let's listen to Lawrence O'Donnell talking about where the hell these other Democrats are going to get the money.
I mentioned that Joe Biden's at a fundraiser tonight where he is crushing Donald Trump in the fundraising competition. The latest campaign finance reports show that the Biden-Harris reelection campaign has $56 million on hand at the end of January, while the Trump campaign had only $30 million on hand. President Biden's also raising money with and for the Democratic National Committee, which has $24 million on hand at the end of January. The Republican National Committee has $8 million at the end of January. In the month of January alone, the Trump campaign raised $8.8 million and spent $11.4 million. Donald Trump has spent a total of $50 million on lawyers during the campaign and will spend much more. Other PACs and fundraising committees supporting the Biden-Harris ticket had a combined $117 million at the beginning of this year. And here's the part right here. Here's the part of the story that no one who has said Joe Biden should drop out or has written that Joe Biden should drop out has ever mentioned, that every other Democrat whose name shows up in these articles as a substitute for Joe Biden, as the Democratic nominee, has raised exactly zero money for a presidential campaign.
Yep.
No one has told you about the money. That means none of them have thought for a second about the money. Every serious observer of presidential campaigns is supposed to know how important campaign money is, and not one of these people who are telling you it's time to get rid of Joe Biden seem to have given a thought to the money. So here's what they haven't told you or simply do not know. Not one penny Gavin Newsom has in his campaign treasury in California is usable in a presidential campaign. Money raised for statewide elections of governors in California and other states is raised under different laws than the laws governing federal campaign money. So Gavin Newsom has zero to spend on a presidential campaign as of tonight. And Gavin Newsom knows that. And Gavin Newsom, if he can get the nomination, would then leave the convention with no ability to even fly his way home. So let me say that number again, zero. That's how many dollars Gavin Newsom would have to spend, would have to spend on a presidential campaign, leaving the Democratic convention. He'd have zero. Yeah. There is one other candidate besides Joe Biden who has raised money for a presidential campaign, and that only that one candidate who's done that is Kamala Harris. Yep. The money raised for the Biden-Harris campaign has been raised in the name of both candidates. So Kamala Harris has a legal claim on all of that money if Joe Biden were to drop out of the race. All the imagined contested Democratic convention candidates there would only be one candidate, Kamala Harris, who would actually have real money for a presidential campaign.
Right. And so that, and we'll stop there. That means that if this were to happen, the only other choice would have to be Vice President Kamala Harris. There is no other option.
Shouldn't she be the natural choice?
Well,
shouldn't she be the natural choice if she's the current VP?
The natural choice is renominating Joe Biden.
Of course. But I mean, if for some strange reason he couldn't run, she's the next natural choice, being the current vice president, who's doing a hell of a job. And all they ever say about her is she's black.
Yeah.
And she's a chick.
Right.
So she's got so much shit against her. It's just.
Yeah. Well, all things being normal, you're exactly right, Jody. But the thing is, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of Democrats, who have their own ideas in terms of who should replace Joe Biden in this ridiculously hypothetical scenario. So that's what it is. And the thing is, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden couldn't just give all of their money, all the money they've raised, to another candidate, because that would be a betrayal to all the people who donated money to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, knowing that, or with the hopes that they were going to be the nominee as forecasted, as normal course of events in politics would dictate. So that, I think that kind of seals up any question as to whether or not there should be some sort of dump Joe Biden sort of scenario in all of this. But in addition to all of that, the other members of the Dem bench are polling lower against Trump than Biden against Trump. Quinnipiac has Biden leading Trump by 4 points in a poll that just dropped yesterday. But in a hypothetical matchup, Donald Trump leads Kamala Harris 46% to 43%. And he leads Gavin Newsom 46% to 36%. Gavin Newsom, polling-wise, against Donald Trump, is doing 10% worse than Donald Trump right now. He also leads Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer 45% to 33%. So Whitmer doesn't do as well as even Gavin Newsom against Donald Trump in these polling scenarios. And of course, we always got to say,
people don't know those politicians.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's a name recognition thing hurting them, and you're not gonna be able to build what 4 years of name recognition. Lawrence O'Donnell's talking about how a presidential campaign is actually 4 years long. The press only covers it for the last 2 years, but it's a 4 year process in which name recognition is established, fundraising is activated, big money donors are mobilized, campaign headquarters around the country in different states, even down to precincts, are mobilized. These are all things that need time to happen. And scrambling with someone at the last minute is absolutely a recipe for disaster. And there are so many people who are willing to shit can what we know and what is very likely to succeed, which is renominating Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, with some sort of phantom fantasy politics scenario.
They think it's fantasy football. That's what they think. Fantasy football has given straight guys the illusion that they can just peel out the actual players they don't like and put in ones they prefer to make it more interesting and make more money.
Right, right.
But so it's not going to work that way. That's not how we're set up.
One of the other things that Lawrence mentioned last night was that Jon Stewart last week had suggested, well, if Joe Biden's doing so well in the White House, if he's making all these decisions and he's fully engaged, why aren't you filming that?
And Lawrence
O'Donnell made it clear that the real presidenting takes place when the cameras cannot and will not be present. He said that the stuff that we end up seeing on camera is stuff that ultimately doesn't make any difference. It's just throwaway things. And while that says something about the transparency of the presidency, and that's a separate conversation, this is just the way it is at this point. It's a smart way to run the White House. What you don't want is half-formed policy ideas or national security secrets being just dumped into the press without any sort of vetting whatsoever, without any sort of strategy in terms of what gets revealed and what doesn't get revealed. So I thought that was also another excellent point. So
I just remember also there was that time that the Trump administration got a workable-ish bill out of the House to kill Obamacare, and they were convinced they were done. Like, I don't think Trump, like, somebody had forgotten to tell Trump that morning when they, like, you know, he woke up blank that the Senate was still in the way. Do you remember? And they were having, like, a beer party in the House garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly
and
right.
Just, you know, they're like, we killed Obamacare. And it's like, guys, did you not?
They celebrated just the legislation passing through the House, which is just so ridiculous.
I remember that, yeah.
But here's the thing that I think needs to happen sooner rather than later, and I'm not holding my breath because it involves pollsters.
I just, before it gets away, my whole thought on that was that I'm not sure that Trump consistently has a grasp that there are two houses of Congress.
Oh, of course not. No, he doesn't know any of it. No, that's very, very clear. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He thinks bicameral is something that someone's going to tell him about an underage sex worker from Eastern Europe.
Or it's two cameras.
Yeah, right, right.
Bicameral is two cameras.
I'm sure he couldn't tell you anything about NATO either, other than what Vladimir Putin is feeding to him. But in terms of the pollsters and asking this question, do you think Joe Biden's too old to serve as president again? A lot of people are saying, well, he's too old to serve as president, at least according to the janky polls. And I underscore the word janky, of course. But the next question after that, is Joe Biden too old to serve as president? Should be, but will you vote for Biden anyway? And that question is not being asked. I think it's safe to assume that the answer to that question would be overwhelmingly yes, because of the alternative. And ultimately because, you know what, Joe Biden's got a stellar goddamn record, which Lawrence O'Donnell did detail last night also. But I wanted to throw this in here, too, in terms of just something that's related to all of that. John Kasich was on, I think, MSNBC, former Ohio Republican governor John Kasich, former Republican candidate John Kasich. He said evangelicals are beginning to question their support for Trump. In Michigan, Trump is being hurt and trails Biden because the evangelical community is saying enough is enough. Without them, Trump has a real problem. There are so many reasons why Donald Trump will get destroyed in this election. He is, as Lawrence talked about,
he's happy.
Yeah, he's, well, I know, don't get happy. I'm saying that, but I'm also feeling pretty confident. I got to say, I'm
no,
just being,
no, don't get happy.
Look, I'm just being honest, man. I got to be honest. I'm still pretty confident in this. I think obviously that confidence has a caveat, which is that we got to do the goddamn hard work. If we do the hard work of reelecting Joe Biden, obviously he's going to win. If we stay home and we sit on our hands and we don't bring the energy, it's not going to happen. So, but if we do that, and I think we will do that, I think there's a lot of shit that we don't see happening on Twitter or Threads or Facebook or wherever that is actually happening on the ground that is positive in terms of campaign infrastructure. So we should bear that in mind as well. But I mean, there are a lot of things playing against Donald Trump right now, money being the main one. I mean, that's one of the things that I think we fail to recognize as a metric as the poll numbers come down. And of course, I think a lot of the pollsters right now are strictly in business to feed the cable news horse race narrative. I think that is, yep. I mean, they've basically designed their polls to feed that concept. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of really tight polls. And then when an election day comes around, the actual results far exceed the polling margins.
Yeah, I got to say that Steve Kornacki, you know, he is my husband's hall pass.
Really?
Wow. Oh no.
Oh, he's adorable.
Ben does all that kind of math in his head too. Ben can, like, you know, drop a box of toothpicks and tell you how many hit the floor.
You saw Leslie Jones when she interviewed Steve Kornacki. She was like, I love
you. No, I didn't.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
I didn't, but like, I feel traumatized now. I'm no longer comfortable with Steve in our house. I don't like being around him. You know, I know that you like him, Ben, but like, he's really like, I just, there's been weird vibes off him, and like, he had to tell me about the Trump thing, and I feel like I don't trust him anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not comfortable. And Ben's,
well,
like,
I mean,
he's
going
friend.
With polls. No, but no, I mean, Steve Kornacki is going with polling.
Yeah,
which is stupid. Mm-hmm. Because polls have not been good since like 2010.
Yeah.
So because they're, even Nate Silver, who used to be good at this, so not good at this anymore, mm-hmm. because people lie to pollsters anymore. And it's literally calling people with landlines. I'm an old lady. I have a landline, but I don't answer my phone unless I know who's calling me. Because I have cats that I can talk to, or Lonnie. So I don't need to just pick up the phone and talk to people.
Yeah.
So they're still doing it super old fashioned, or they do it online, which is even dumber because, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, polling nowadays is the dumbest thing. And Steve Kornacki is a pollster guy, mm-hmm. but he's very good on election night with the khakis and the whole the thing and the everything. He's awesome.
The other thing that he does is he correlates the poll numbers with previous election results. I mean, down to those county levels, down to precinct levels. And so it's
like a cat jumping.
Yeah,
he's doing physics in his head.
Exactly right. It's not entirely evident, I think, to a lot of people watching. And this isn't necessarily a defense of Steve Kornacki. I'm just saying there's a methodology behind how they say, well, Joe Biden is underperforming in this precinct right now because of, well, there are the polls, and there's how Joe Biden did in the same precinct in 2020. And these are all things that we have to bear in mind. And my blood pressure is going up because I'm thinking about election night in November and how...
Don't do that.
Insane that's going to be.
No.
I got to say that. I just, you know, he's always been buying the same fit of gas.
Wait, David, I was doing my Lamaze breathing.
Okay. Don't push yet. Don't push. Don't push. Just breathe.
Hold.
Push him out. Shove him out.
Hold. Way out.
I'm feeling better. Please.
Now I've forgotten what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Lost in the miracle.
We're talking about polls. We're talking about polling.
Yeah,
and polls.
We all know how painful those can be.
Steve Kornacki, as you were talking about.
Oh, it's khakis.
Your husband's,
like, he's got these trademark Gap khakis, and like, you can see the weirdness of the direction the Gap has gone through in the last couple of years, because the last couple of elections, they look all weird on him. They're like hanging to a weird. He looks kind of gaunt.
Well, he overbelts it. He tightens his belt too much.
That's what he really did. Like the
tightens his belt on his khakis.
He does. His khakis have a tight belt.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that's making me laugh.
It is actually what we would call him in the store when I worked there.
Really Gackies was like an industry name?
Well, the thing is, you know, cocaine is sometimes called Gack, right?
Oh, is it?
It is.
I didn't know
and
that.
And there was this one guy who would send his shipments from his store, and he'd be like, I got some Gackies in there for you. And we'd know to look for the khakis with the, and one of them would have a bag of coke in the pocket as a thank you for doing this so quickly. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually why we say Gackies.
Okay. So what you're saying is.
Probably I'm going to get like the fucking Gap assassination squad is coming for me now.
Private proprietary information. So what you're saying is Steve Kornacki has Gack in his Gackies. He's keeping the Gack in the back pocket of his Gackies.
More like a yak.
Jesus. Okay. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk about how the entire Republican establishment was scammed by Alexander Smirnov. It's a gigantic story, and we would have led with this if it wasn't for the fact that Lawrence O'Donnell delivered such a barn burner of an A-block last night. But this is a gigantic story that the press is not covering enough, but we're going to get into it here. The Republicans were absolutely scammed by this guy.
Wasn't it? I mean, Joe Scarborough even said this morning that the Republicans are so dumb at this point that the Russians can just give them an IV drip of propaganda and they'll repeat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they're dumb. I think they're in on it.
Yeah. Well, if their goal is to scam their naive followers, Russia provides all kinds of content for them to use as part of their scam of Red State America. Plus, the Christian nationalist plans for the next Trump presidency. This all loops into Project 2025. And this guy from Fox News, Raymond Arroyo, he said, blacks love sneakers. And that's why Donald Trump is going to win the black vote in the election because of his sneakers. And this clip is loaded with so many tropes in it. It is staggering. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcast.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites all day long!
It's a brand new single from TikTok celebrity Freakbase. Yeah.
See, I called it. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I was like, is this Freakbase? Yeah. It's always, just the low end is always so exquisitely.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
That's the Ohio funk sound, man. This is a track called Do You Wanna? Got a link in the description to download this. So many Freakbase fans listen to this show, and I'm so gratified to hear that. You can
one of my favorite sounds that bass makes is right there where he's like bending up into the next chord and he pops like from doom da doom da doom da. It's just yeah, your knees bend automatically and your ass just starts to bounce and yeah,
so good.
Can we just dance for the rest of the show? That's all I really want.
Yeah,
to do.
Let's just dance. That's so effective on an audio only podcast, just us dancing. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Also, I got a link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com to download this new track from Freakbase, Do You Wanna? Okay, getting back into things here today on the Big Thursday Show. The entire Republican establishment was scammed by this guy, Alexander Smirnov. We've talked about this before. This is the FBI informant who, it turns out, was lying about an alleged $5 million bribe to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden from Ukraine. And
turns out he is a
Russian spy. Yeah.
A direct Russian plant whose last name is
Smirnov.
Smirnov.
He's the vodka guy. He's from the vodka part of Russia.
That's right.
Didn't somebody have a Yakov Smirnov secret agent character? Was it Robin Williams?
Oh, no. That was a stand-up comedian. No, there was a stand-up comedian named Yakov Smirnov.
Yakov Smirnov was a really guy.
Yeah, he's the What a Country guy. He's in the,
Right. Yeah. I still like, but it was Robin Williams to be like, please, let me take a couple of quick suppressions for my country. And he'd hold up his buttonhole and go, you know, like.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, this other guy, Alexander Smirnov, is not nearly as fun as Yakov. he's up to his eyeballs in Russian intelligence officials. Certainly all of them connected to the Russian FSB and, of course, the Kremlin. So basically what's been happening here with this entire Hunter Biden scam is the Kremlin puppeteering the entire Republican Party. I mean, down to, obviously, the House Republicans and the morons on the Rodeo Clown Caucus. All these guys either willingly or unwittingly were scammed by Alexander Smirnov. In other words, I'm not sure which is worse. Either Republicans knew it was disinformation and introduced it as evidence anyway, or they were tricked. Which one of those two things? I think they're equally as bad to say about the Republican Party.
I think it's if they knew it and did it anyway, I think that's worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're not realizing. I think they're not committed all the way down in their heads. I think for them, if it ends up being true, they knew it.
Yeah.
And if it ends up being not true, it sounded, you know, they're just kind of like, do you know what I mean? They haven't committed all the way.
Still knew it.
Yeah. It meets their agenda. So just put it out there.
Well, that could be it. I think the fact that.
Or it could be close to it, you know, like.
Right. I think it's what Jody said. I think the worst side of this would be that the Russians or the Republicans. I said the Russians.
The Russians.
What a Freudian slip that was.
You're not wrong. You're so not wrong.
Yeah. The Republicans knew it was disinformation, or they just didn't care whether it was disinformation or not. As long as it was damaging to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, they were going to use it because ultimately they're trying to do something very specific, and little of that has to do with actually impeaching Joe Biden. This is about damaging Joe Biden and making people think that, well, Trump's corrupt and Joe Biden's corrupt, and if everyone's corrupt, no one's corrupt. That's the mission here. The mission is to scam the rubes and suckers. And I'm not just talking about the ones who own red MAGA hats. I'm talking about maybe even some of the ones who are considered swing voters or undecideds or whoever, the ones who are prone to think, well, you know, Donald Trump's up to his eyeballs in Chinese money and so is Joe Biden. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to stay home. And the more people stay home, the better off Republicans tend to be in elections. More people vote. See, Democrats do better.
I just feel like Trump, though, has made it. There's no like mysteries with him anymore. You know, there's no like sitting home going, well, I guess I don't need to vote because it won't go too horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that incentive I feel like has gone away now, or that lack of incentive, because people really do. And, you know, I read a statistic, 52% of the people in the country don't just have an unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump. Yeah. They hate him on a visceral level.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well, House Republicans are investigating the Bidens and have claimed that the president engaged in corruption as vice president. They have relied extensively on Smirnov's claims to undergird their case. And CNN says prosecutors also said that Smirnov has been, quote, actively peddling new lies that could impact U.S. elections after meeting with Russian spies late last year, and that the fallout from his previous false bribery accusations against the Bidens, quote, continues to be felt to this day, unquote. According to the new court filing, Smirnov told investigators he was in contact with, quote, four different Russian officials, unquote, all of whom were, quote, top officials, and two of whom, quote, are the heads of the entities they represent, unquote. Prosecutors did not independently verify in the filing whether Smirnov's reported contacts are legitimate, nor whether the Russians provided him with disinformation about the Bidens. The false information that Smirnov reported was not trivial, prosecutors wrote. Of particular note is a story Smirnov allegedly told the FBI in September 2023, alleging that Hunter Biden was recorded making phone calls in a Kyiv hotel that is wired under the control of the Russians. Federal agents said they knew Smirnov's story was false because Hunter Biden has never traveled to Ukraine. Whoops. Yeah. Smirnov told investigators, Russian intelligence officers would use the hotel to intercept cell phone calls made by prominent U.S. persons, prosecutors said, which the Russian government could use as kompromat in the 2024 election, depending on who the candidates will be. Kompromat, of course, is a Russian term that refers to compromising information
used
for blackmail. Yes, of course. Yeah, we all remember. And so that, I thought, jumped off the page for me. The fact that they're obviously gathering information or have been gathering information to use against most likely Joe Biden in the 2024 election. Maybe they've got something on Kamala Harris, too. Maybe they've got something on Gavin Newsom. I don't know.
I think they just like acting like they do.
I mean, what do you do about the fact that the House Republicans are being puppeteered by Moscow? I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about here.
We just keep telling everybody that. They're the only two messages we need going into November.
Oh, yeah.
The Russians are running the Republicans. The Democrats want to help save your freedoms.
Well, I'm talking more from, and that's a good point, politically speaking, but I'm talking about from a law enforcement perspective. Because this can't continue on. I mean, obviously, the Republicans will continue to be puppeteered by the Russians. I mean, this is obviously something that is not ending anytime soon, unless they're brought up on some form of charges. And even if that were to happen, which I don't see Merrick Garland doing anything like that, but even if it were, the Republicans would do nothing but crap their cages about how Joe Biden is once again persecuting them. Because they're
don't underestimate their pettiness.
Yeah.
You know, the Russians will, like, I mean, leave you dead with an arrow in your gut in your fucking sauna house.
Yeah.
I mean, just, yeah. Don't underestimate the Russians' pettiness and how much they enjoy humiliating people who were once their useful idiots. I mean, you saw how they went after Tucker this last week.
Yeah.
And all but called him a, like, you know, privileged little sweet summer child. Like, I just, yeah.
Well, the thing that
Tucker is that.
He totally is that, but I mean, just Putin was like, the whole thing that Putin was like, they did like 30 minutes trashing the CIA and how rotten and terrible organization it was, and then Putin hit a beat, and then he was like, they turned you down, didn't they, when you tried to apply?
Right.
And that's when I was like, that's next level shade right there. That's petty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
He's gone through Tucker's file and be like, oh, reject for the CIA. So, man.
Well, then the next question I have is, what's next? What pile of disinformation is going to land on our heads based on shit that's already been spread behind closed doors, pumped into the willing gullets of the Republicans on the Hill? I mean, there are all kinds of
shit. My old editor said, anything that smells too good to be true for either side,
yeah,
examine it very closely before you print it.
Well, and then the other element to all of this is, how much is the press going to take it seriously? Because there are quite a few who will just mindlessly report whatever the Republicans are saying without chasing it down for accuracy. And that's the other thing that concerns me. So keep an eye out.
What's the guy's name at Politico? Yeah. Mm. The little dude who, like, Josh something, when, like, Nick... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just going blank for names today. The white supremacist, super crazy Catholic guy, Nick Fuentes,
yeah,
was having, and Kanye West, now, you know, exhibitionist anti-Semite, were having Thanksgiving dinner, at Mar-a-Lago. And that little, if you'll forgive me, Jewish guy that worked for Politico was just standing there on TV like he didn't know what to do. He's like, he couldn't stand still. He's like, this is unacceptable. This is like, you know, a direct. And then like 2 weeks later, he's right back just doing it again because it's trans people that they're after now. And that's not him.
Right, right.
So, and I just, I'm like, the memory, the media needs to find its memory again.
Yeah.
It's long-term memory and not get so caught up in, I can't remember what happened 50 minutes ago. Like, you know, Bart Simpson, because it's just like, when you get it, when you're toxically exposed to media and it goes on and on and on and on, it completely seems unfixable because they keep you on the air by graying the black and white and inking the waters.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. And so there's just an extreme lack of prioritization happening in newsrooms right now. And so it's a matter
Except
of
we've got to fire all the fucking writers. Like, that's just,
Priority
one, fire the writers because they're clearly the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so meantime, I want to get to this before we take a break. Donald Trump said that there are nuclear weapons so large that if one of them lands on New York City, it's going to entirely take out South Carolina too.
I heard that.
Yeah. This is not a thing, but let's listen to Donald Trump saying this stupid shit that people will end up believing anyway.
What's I mean, if you don't mind me asking, because I know this is a very faith-filled audience here, and I know there are people across the globe pray for you and your safety. They're worried about your safety.
No, they are.
Do you feel the power of that?
I do, but can I be honest? I worry about their safety, too. These people, everybody in this room is in great danger right now. We have a nuclear weapon that if you hit New York, South Carolina is going to be gone, too. I worry about their safety. I think it's the reason I'm doing this.
You know what? I think he knew that he said something stupid.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a nuclear weapon that has a 720-mile blast radius.
No.
I think he meant to say South Jersey or Long Island or... I think he just said South Carolina because he's in South Carolina, maybe. That may be an explanation. But let's just do some fact-checking here. The largest nuclear weapon ever detonated is called the Tsar Bomba in Russia, and it had a blast radius of 20 miles. That was the largest one ever made, and it was so big that the Soviets were like, oh, fuck, we can't make another one of those. We're not going to do that again.
That's like Manhattan and Queens.
What's that?
That's like Manhattan and Queens in most of Brooklyn, probably.
Yeah, but it was a massive, massive detonation. It incinerated everything within, you know, that 20-mile radius. So that has never been repeated. It's just like, okay, even the Soviets were like, oh, this is too much. We've gone too far. Maybe we don't need this much firepower.
It's heavy, probably.
Yeah.
And not cost-effective. You had to get that much, because fissile material is fucking heavy.
Yeah, it is.
And so, like, dragging it all that distance, and then having it, it's like, ah, man, let's never do that again. Woo! Like, you prove you can do it? Yeah.
Okay, so Donald Trump in the same sit-down with Laura Ingraham also said that there's going to be tremendous crime in Washington, D.C. after Donald Trump federalizes Washington, D.C. Let's play this clip here.
No, we're going to take over Washington, D.C. We're going to federalize. We're going to have very powerful crime, and you're going to be proud of it again. We're going to take...
We're going to have very powerful crime in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there are a lot of power. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I do know that Washington, D.C. is already federalized. It's already a federal city. That's why it was established, so that the federal government was not beholden to state governments. And he's talking about federalizing Washington, D.C. His stupid fucking supporters just don't know, do they? They just don't understand things. And
did you guys read It Can Happen Here? He nailed Trump's speech. I wish I had the description in front of me.
Yeah.
Because part of it is the repetition, part of it is the pure banality, and part of it is the ability to contradict itself, to mold itself to anything that the person in the audience is thinking, as long as the resentment points the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
But he described it exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are many, many telltale signs of what Donald Trump intends to do. And we're going to talk about one of the other things on the list under the heading of Project 2025 here in a second. We're talking about a Christian nationalist takeover of the United States federal government if Donald Trump becomes president again. This is serious shit. Every day there's more serious shit going, you know what, and all together, you put all this stuff together, where it's Donald Trump saying he supports a Russian invasion of Europe, or the fact that Donald Trump is leveraged up to his eyeballs in debt and penalties and legal fees and interest. You know, it's all these things. Every day there's something new. And what it does is it grabs us by the lapels and says, get serious, Democrats. Stop playing grab ass about Joe Biden being 81 years old. Own the fact that he's old and therefore has wisdom and experience. Own that.
Thank you.
Instead of just saying, oh my God, I'm terrified. Let's drop him and go with someone completely unknown who's falling behind in the polls. We're getting all kinds of examples of why we should continue to push forward with the president we have, who, as far as I'm concerned, is poised to win re-election. Okay, so meantime, like I was saying, the Christian nationalists are intending to create all kinds of awful things for many, many Americans, in addition to the fact that Donald Trump is going to completely change the nature of how the federal government operates from a law enforcement perspective, from a bureaucracy perspective. It's a disaster in the waiting. So we'll talk about that here in a second. Plus, let's see what else. Oh, Letitia James is prepared to seize Donald Trump's properties. We'll touch on that a little bit. And maybe something from this guy, Raymond Arroyo from Fox News, just stepping onto every single racist trope landmine there is. So all that and more coming up on today's show, back after these words.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. This guy who doesn't get it, he doesn't get the sacrifice, he doesn't get why soldiers do it, he thinks they're losers, he thinks they're suckers. I mean, how is he comparing himself to Navalny? Navalny was so courageous that he went back to Russia, didn't have to go back to Russia, he was in Germany recovering from poisoning by his own freaking government for calling out their corruption. He went back to Russia to show people you don't have to be afraid. The only thing they can do is kill you, okay? But they can't take away the truth of it. They can't take away that they're stealing from you, because they are. And no matter how much they threaten you, and no matter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do a little. You know, Navalny used to tell people in Russia all the time, to do a little is okay. To do a little bit is okay. To do nothing is not. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska, please, more music.
I know that I search far and wide. I'd work till my skin starts to bleed. Then maybe I could finally find a place for you.
You don't have to leave me.
was captivated by this. I was like, oh yeah, we're doing a show. I gotta start talking again. This is Our New Autumn. It's a brand new song from them. It's called Anything. I love this track. Yeah, it I think drops in March. I'm pretty sure. Shit, I should know more about that. They emailed me. You know what? I'm going to confirm this now. I feel bad. By the way, you can go to bobseska.com, find this episode dated 2/22/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find the links to support all the independent bands here on the show. It says here, it will release officially on all major music platforms on March 18th. So there you go. Perfect. Perfect introduction for this song. I nailed it. Okay. Getting back into things here. Yeah, here's this guy, Raymond Arroyo, who looks like he's made of AI. He looks like an AI man. He doesn't look like a real human being. Talking about how Donald Trump's sneakers are going to win him the black vote. But you know why? Because blacks love sneakers. Oh,
God, why didn't he just say, like, you know, throw in, like, watermelon and
yeah, seriously,
fried chicken as well? Because we just...
he wants to. He wanted to. I'm sure that was on the tip of his artificial tongue, his AI tongue.
Who the hell told him that SneakerCon, which is completely, mostly, largely apolitical, it's more like Reddit,
you know,
than it is anything else.
Right. SneakerCon, the name of the convention, and also describes what Donald Trump did at the convention. The sneaker right. con. Okay, here's Raymond Arroyo.
Even the sneaker thing. I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see, black support eroding from Joe Biden.
No.
This is connecting with black America.
No.
Because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal in the inner city. All those inner city
blacks.
Yeah,
which is something shiny, oh, and those, like, it's just so insulting and so racist. And we need to be calling it out as such.
Yes.
And not just, you know.
Right.
But I've heard some of the sneaker names, actually.
Yeah, like what?
There's there's the Timberland knockoff. It's a Traderland. There's the Nike Psyche. There is the Air Force Diabetes One. There is the Air Force Dumb. There is the Air Con Man. It's just a few more that I haven't actually had a chance to.
Air Force Dumb is my favorite of the list, by the way, just so you know.
That's a good one.
Let's get back to AI man Raymond Arroyo.
So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Question for you on that point, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now here comes Tommy Lahren.
Trump understands culture. I mean,
Tammy!
I can't let it go that he just said that Trump understands culture in a way that, like, the man who's never read a book gets culture in a way that Barack Obama never did.
Well, it's remarkably insulting to black Americans to say that, well, because of sneakers, we just don't care about values or racism or oppression or voting rights or civil rights, anything like that. Because, you know, the sneakers. He's taking black people as being immensely shallow. That's why that is racist.
Mm-hmm.
They can, oh, these blacks, you know, this is in his terminology. Oh, those blacks, they can so totally be manipulated by a fancy pair of sneakers. Selling out their own values for a pair of
free Obama phone.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. God damn it.
Will the people that are excited about the sneakers and excited about Donald Trump, will that translate into them going out and voting for Donald Trump?
Well, anybody willing to put $400 down for a pair of sneakers? Yeah, I think that's commitment and love.
It's something.
It's affection. Even the sneakers.
Yeah, that's commitment and love. He's like talking like Vivek Ramaswamy.
It sounds like he did that thing that they tell you not to. Please do not put pumps in mouths or rectums. And he just overdid it a little bit, and it's kind of popping out of his mouth.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway,
you see the signs. Please do not insert air pump in mouth or rectum. They don't do that in the North.
Yeah.
This is like something that's on every single compressed air machine in Georgia. It sounds like he's had one inside him.
Meantime, Letitia James is prepared to seize Donald Trump's properties. If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, Letitia James said, then we will seek judgment enforcement mechanisms in court, and we will ask the judge to seize his assets. Yes. This will be interesting. I'd love to see Trump Tower get seized, because what I want to see happen at Trump Tower, there are many suggestions for what should happen at Trump Tower. I think the best one is you turn that into a place to live for unhoused people.
I think that's
a possibility. I think the other suggestion, one that I've floated at one time or another, is to level Trump Tower and in its place put a memorial for all the people who died of COVID during Trump's final year in office, due specifically to his inaction and incompetence in reacting to the pandemic. I think that would be an interesting use of that property, certainly much better than that piece of shit nouveau riche pile of garbage that he claims has more floors than it actually does and is worth more than it actually is. Yeah, fuck that place. Also, Donald Trump has been playing around, speaking of the excessive fines in the Judge Engoron ruling the other day, Trump has been talking about how this violates his Eighth Amendment rights against excessive fines.
What fines does he pay? They can't be excessive until you start paying them.
Well,
can't
be excessive if what he claims is true, that he's worth $9 billion.
Right.
I mean, Donald Trump says that his total, no, it's obviously he's lying, but he says that his net worth is $9 billion. So let's do the math. If he were to pay off all the fines he owes to New York State right now, which is about $500,000, half a billion dollars. Half a billion.
There you go.
Yeah. He would still have $8.5 billion in his net worth, right?
If he's accurate.
Yeah. And then he could pay guys like Jonathan Turley $1 billion to peddle Donald Trump's bullshit about the Eighth Amendment. He could pay him $1 billion to do that. And Donald Trump would still have $7.5 billion in assets. So I don't want to hear about all this crying about how $500 million is an excessive fine in violation of Donald Trump's constitutional rights. I assure you, he didn't even know there was an Eighth Amendment until like 5 minutes ago.
Right.
I mean, as far as he's concerned, there's no other amendments past the second one. But this is his latest whiny lament. Yes, Christian nationalism and plans for the next Trump presidency. This is all rolled into Project 2025. There's a piece in Politico that calls attention to all of this. Russell Vaught, who is frequently cited as a potential chief of staff in a second Trump White House, basically the co-president, is right now the president of the Center for Renewing America, CRA for short. It's a think tank. It's a leading group in a conservative consortium preparing for a second Trump term. And by the way, Russell Vaught or Voigt, I don't care how his name is pronounced.
How do you spell it?
V-O-U-G-H-T.
I'll go with Voigt.
Okay, Voigt. Voigt is...
It does sound kind of like a vomiting sound, though.
I don't know.
You could be like,
because I think Voigt would have an A in it, so the O I is a Voigt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't respect him enough to get his name right, so whatever. We've spelled it. People can look it up. Voigt is also an advisor to Project 2025, by the way. That's the Heritage Foundation that's putting together this plan for the second Trump term that involves putting the DOJ under the direct control of the White House and stacking the federal bureaucracy with 50,000 loyalists.
This is just a bunch of, I understand, like, this is scary if Trump gets back in charge, but really all it is a bunch of, like, Josh Duggar types, right? Like using up piles and piles of office paper to spend money that has been donated to the Heritage Foundation by hysterical bigots. Yeah. And like they're putting together this plan with like just like, and it's like Willy Wonka. It's like whatever we want, we're going to put into this plan folio.
Yeah.
Just because there's no brakes and we're idiots.
Right. Well, and, I think it's a serious plan, though, if Donald Trump becomes president.
Yeah, no, the danger is that if he does get into office, someone's going to use that. I think a much greater danger there was aliens finding it thousands of years from now and thinking we took it seriously.
That's right. I would love to see that. God damn it. Why can't I live forever so I can see that happen? So one document drafted by the CRA staff and its fellows includes a list of top priorities for CRA in a second Trump term. Christian nationalism is one of the bullet points. Others include invoking the Insurrection Act on day one to quash protests and refusing to spend authorized congressional funds on unwanted projects, a practice banned by lawmakers in the Nixon era. CRA wants to end surrogacy. They want to end no-fault divorce. Want to end sex...
Surrogacy?
Yes.
They do not want you to be able to...
Surrogate parenthood. Is what they're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They want to end sex education in schools. We kind of knew that. They want to stop policies that, quote, subsidize single motherhood. Yeah. So already in Alabama, they have the Supreme Court there has ruled that IVF is murdering children, like the embryos are children, and therefore those embryos can't be destroyed, or IVF clinics have to be shut down. I'm not sure what the full ramifications
are. That's what they're going for.
Yeah. And the next step is going to be either no-fault divorce or contraception, maybe simultaneously.
Oh, contraception is next.
Okay. Well, I didn't think IVF was going to be number two on the list to go after abortion.
Why? Why didn't you think that?
Oh, well, I mean, I did. I assumed after Dobbs that it would be one of the things that would be next, but I didn't think it was going to be the very next thing. I didn't think it was going to be second. I thought it might be.
Come on, Bob. They want to have personhood with, you know, once you fertilize that egg.
Well, no, I mean, the common...
It's a person.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, I mean, the common wisdom after Dobbs was decided was that contraception would be next. And I said, well, IVF is also going to be on the chopping block, but I didn't think that IVF would be right on the heels of banning abortion.
I think it's... I think they're 2A and 2B.
Yeah.
Because they're basically... Because they're saying that certain forms of contraception are abortifacients, which they are not. Mm-hmm. Plan B being one of them.
Yeah.
And hormonal birth control, mm-hmm. which I was on for years. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, birth control pills. You saved my life for so many years.
I get confused in here. I mean, I know hypocrisy, whatever, but like so many of the women I know who are like super hardcore about this stuff and they're like tracking every hormone and every plastic that goes into their body are getting like tattooed eyeliner and lipstick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I don't know.
Oh, they don't vaccinate. Like, I mean, it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention here too, the fact that this non-binary person was,
Next.
Murdered.
That's their name.
Mm.
What's their name again? Murdered by
Nex. Oh, okay.
And they were murdered by people that they went to school with.
Jesus Christ.
Nex Benedict.
Yeah.
A really apparently
that was their name,
kid. I did a thing at the Patreon for Astral Summer. I just wrote, it's kind of a poem. It's just also kind of an indictment of like, you know, I got beat up in school in the bathroom.
Yeah,
50 fucking years ago. Why are we still so shitty at this?
Yeah, I know.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah,
that we didn't fix it by now. I don't know. I feel like it's something good to read, but it's also good to donate to that family's GoFundMe. That poor kid was on a reservation.
Absolutely. And the reservation is really pissed off because Native Americans understand there's not just binary choices.
Yeah.
With humans.
Of course not.
And so they've gotten it for centuries. We still have to get up to speed. But the person at the reservation where they were from is really, really, really understandably pissed the fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understandable. Absolutely.
The people that we can thank for this are the so-called Moms for Liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the...
Don't forget Matt Walsh. And Michael Knowles.
The Libs of TikTok.
Who?
The Libs of TikTok.
The Libs of TikTok. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I hate that woman. And if I think about her too hard, like before I can sleep tonight, I'm going to have to go and break bottles in the street or something. Like it just let out, throw rocks at trees because I just, the person, like, when, what the hell is your problem? What gives you the right to terrorize children? If I ever find out where that person lives, I will be perfectly polite and appropriate.
Don't say it, David. I know where you're going, but don't.
I am perfectly polite and appropriate.
I'm going to turn off your microphone, David. Seriously, don't threaten people. Please.
All I said, did I just said, you think the worst of me.
Oh, that's never happened before. It's not.
No.
I'm completely out of line.
I'm a pussycat.
Oh, we know you, David. We know David. I don't want to get sued. That's all. Anyway. That is it. Okay. We're going to do the Shadow Docket next. We okay, David? We good?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and you were just going to say something hypothetical, right? That's what you're going to do.
No, I actually launched that sentence with the full intent of landing it on, like, scratch her bunny's chin or give her flowers or something totally innocuous, because I knew the lead up was going to sound so bad and you guys were hanging on this. That's why I said, and do something really appropriate.
Oh, so you're going to do something nice and sweet in an ironic way.
That was the gag, yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, well, that makes sense. Good. Good for you. I'm proud of you, David. That's perfect.
Gross.
Yeah. And sometimes that actually is more effective.
I can grow more than new toes.
I don't know. All right. Coming up next on the Shadow Docket on the Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, we're going to talk about a little bit about ADHD. Because this has come up before on the show.
And we forgot it.
Yeah.
we got distracted and forgot to mention it again.
I know, I gotta stay focused. We're also gonna talk about an interesting usage of AI. I know we're not big fans of AI here on the show, but this is interesting. This might actually be a thing, what we're gonna talk about. Meantime, karma's a bitch. We're going to do the Kid Rock edition of Karma's a Bitch. Coming up on the Shadow Docket on the big Patreon page. Go there now. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. We will see you there. Otherwise, see you on the after party. And if not, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.